What is up, you beautiful human? Hello and welcome back to the Raw, Real and Vulnerable podcast with me, your host, Bec Antonucci. I could not record today's podcast episode after so many women have come into my world, shared how much they desire to walk their own unique path, but have this fear that is so true and real within them that they experience around the projections and shame and opinions and comments that could potentially come their way as you start to go a little bit against the norm. And so one thing I would love for you to tune into as you're listening to today's podcast episode is these opinions and judgments and projections and comments that could potentially, bolding the potentially part, that could potentially come your way. Are these opinions, judgment, comments, are they coming from the kind of person who you would go to seek out, to source out inspiration, guidance, motivation? Are these people the kind of people who you look up to? Are these people the kind of people who embody the kind of lives that you desire to live? I would say 99.9% of the time, the answer to that question from pretty much fucking everyone is no. And so as you're listening today, as we embark on this journey of exploring tall poppy syndrome and I share experiences that I have had, a trigger warning, disclaimer, I got a bit fucking Bec wild today sharing some absolute fucking stories. I got so into one story that I couldn't stop telling the story and I was kind of reliving the story as I was telling it. And I was like, by the end of it, I'm not even sure if this is entirely relevant. My podcast team was like, Bec, well, you can really tell that you were enjoying that. Not sure if it was entirely relevant, but we know that you went full Bec there. The purpose of really leaving it in today was A, the entertainment factor, and B, just to really highlight and remind you how human we all are and from where we have all come from. And that, yes, fam, there is going to be someone that may look at you and think, who the fuck do you think you are to be living the life that you are now living? And you know what? When someone starts doing that to you, I'm going to turn around and say to you, you fucking made it. There are certain things that have occurred in my life where I've turned to my mentor and he's turned around to me and said, I'm fucking congratulating you for this, Bec. You have reached a new fucking level. So my love, as you tune into today, as you embark on this journey of exploring what tall poppy syndrome even is, and as you think about the opinions, judgments, and projections that could come your way, are they coming your way from the kind of person that you would actually turn to and say, hey, I would love for you to support me because the kind of life that you embody and live inspires me? And if that is not your truth, then why the fuck do you care? This is one hell of an absolute firecracker of an episode. If you love it, please screenshot it, share it to your story, tag me so that I can connect with you and share it as well. Strap yourself in, fam. This is one hell of an episode. Let's fucking go. I desire to start today's solo podcast by emphasizing that belonging is a core human need. We all desire to be accepted and be a part of the pack, a pack, our like-minded pack, the pack that uniquely aligns with us. We all crave it. Even the people like, I like to be alone. I deeply believe that all of us, it's in our DNA to desire to belong. In fact, our basic human survival depends on it. And it doesn't come from, oh my God, I just want to be the cool girl on Instagram with all the likes or the popular girl in high school. This stems back to ancient times when we were living in tribes. And if you think about it, if I am in a fucking tent, I don't know what we were living in thousands of years ago. We weren't there, but imagine that you're living in a tent and a tiger comes and you're by your fucking self. Well, you versus tiger, you're going to get your head fucking eaten off. You with an entire pack, there's a chance of survival. So we literally feel like our lives are at stake when we do not belong, which is why our nervous system can feel so intensely heightened when there is a massive fear of rejection. There is so much at stake. And now the saber-toothed tiger is mean comments on the internet, mean emails, a rude thing said at a dinner table by a friend or an acquaintance, or something our boss has said, or something that's occurring in the workplace. There's no longer an actual saber-toothed tiger. We're not going to literally die when someone says something nasty or mean about us, but our nervous system can go into the same sense of panic, and our nervous system can be flooded with all of these sensations when we do not feel accepted by the pack. Perfectly natural, perfectly normal. Already in our DNA. Now add your life journey onto that. For example, I can speak from my experience. You know this. I went to a prestige all-girls high school. I was bullied. I attempted to take my own life at age 14. I'm like the most resilient, bad bitch, healthy, motivated, nothing can fucking break this bitch motherfucker I know. And this gorgeous, sensitive, depressed little 14-year-old, I literally attempted to take my own life because I was being bullied so horrifically. Every day, day in and day out, just screamed at the nastiest words that high school felt too hard for me to live through, that I would rather take myself fully away from it. I didn't believe that acceptance was possible for me. If just through my way of being, which I didn't think I was really being anything other than myself, and then I also tried to adapt, like, fuck, being myself isn't okay. So how do they want me to be so that they will accept me? Can I be cool? Can I be funny? Can I try and hook up with a guy? Can I try and do something that will impress? I was doing so many things outside of my own internal boundaries to try and gain acceptance. But I wanted acceptance because I want you to hear this. I wanted to survive. I didn't want acceptance so they approved of me. Yes, I wanted friends, for fucking sure I wanted friends. But now my safety, my survival literally depended on it. I was considering taking my own life. In fact, I did attempt to. So literally, I want you to hear this. My safety and survival depended on belonging. The saber-toothed tiger became the mean girls in high school. So now think about your own journey and everything that you have transcended to get to here. And there may be still a very tender part of you that desires and craves so much to fit in. So much so that when she thinks about doing anything outside of the norm, it feels so terrifying. Maybe you're thinking of starting a business. Maybe you're an upcoming coach thinking about stepping into the coaching industry. Maybe you're thinking about starting a podcast, a blog, just something outside of the norm, sharing your voice, singing, dancing, creating music, just you expressing yourself in whatever way is uniquely you in your own authentic expression. Well, number one, being fucking seen is courageous. Number two, being seen doing something different, like fuck me, spotlight on you. All eyes on you. I know we say all eyes, even though I'm like, I told the world that I test positive for the herpes virus. It's like, bitch, you only have so many thousands of people on your Facebook and your Instagram. That's not the motherfucking world. But our head says, I told the world. Like, I was subject to the entire world's judgment. That's the story that my mind has created about that experience. Logically, it's a few thousand on Facebook and a few thousand on Instagram and anyone that comes past the video. But the mind's like, I came out to the entire world. The entire world in that moment could reject me. And then, oh my God, I'm all alone because now the entire world knows this thing about me. That's the story that we tell. And it feels so fucking true. Like, my truth was, I did tell the world. I'm open to the entire world knowing. Imagine that intense sensation of, oh my God, before you do anything crazy, before you do anything wild, before you do anything scary, even if it's in alignment, imagine if you have a smaller self telling you in your mind, you're about to tell the whole world and the whole world could reject you. Imagine the flooding sensations that were occurring within my nervous system after being bullied so intensely, so horrifically, creating an entire 10 years of my life from my teenage years to 31, just doing everything that I could outside of myself to try and gain external approval so that I could feel safe. And I was about to do something that was totally going to defy everything that I'd done up until then to try and attain safety. Whoa. No wonder doing courageous shit feels fucking scary. The saber-toothed tiger became the entire world that was about to eat my motherfucking head off. And so I share this with you because I have so many women that are so drawn to me right now. And I love it. Women are thinking about doing things that are really in alignment with them. They're about to be seen, speaking their truth, stepping into their power, choosing a path that hasn't really been walked before, a career path that hasn't been walked before, a relationship path that hasn't been walked before, living somewhere outside of the world that they were born into. And it feels so fucking scary. And I get it. Like, oh my God, I could tell you so many things that are going on in my life right now, but I'll save that podcast for another day. But it's so scary to walk the path unknown. Okay, I will tell you, Jake and I have kind of been on off since the entire breakup, and now we're in this like, do we make it work? Do we not make it work? And it's a whole other podcast all on its own. And I know that a part of the confusion is how scary and terrifying the unknown path feels to walk, and how much we grasp, just grasp and grasp and grasp for certainty. Okay, well, if I don't speak my truth, if I don't start this business, if I know that my boss is paying me every second Friday the exact same wage every second Friday, even though this does not feel good, uncertainty feels fucking terrifying. And how many fucking tigers are on that path? I don't know. I've never walked it before. At least I know how many tigers are on this path, and I kind of know how to manipulate that tiger or acquiesce to that tiger. I just know how to behave around the tiger so the tiger is more of a kitten, even if I'm appeasing the tiger to turn it into a kitten and act out of my own alignment. I know I'm not going to have my head bitten off this path. Oh my God, I just don't know what could occur there. There is no certainty. So all of these women coming into my world, all wanting to do big, courageous things, and all having this deep fear of not belonging. Who is going to choose me if I walk this path? Will men love me if I walk this path? Will my family approve of me if I walk this path? What will my peers think? What about people from my past who are like, who the fuck is she to be doing that? And I'm telling you right now, we all have people from our past who are like, Rebecca Antonucci is a fucking life coach. That bitch is a fucking psychopath. Or like, seriously, I was taking fuck tons of MDMA with her in like some party somewhere. I literally had an overdose on the hill of Tomorrowland taking too much European ecstasy. I had this wild boyfriend at the time, the one that passed herpes on to me. And I stayed with him because I was like, no one's going to ever fucking love me again. So just stay with this motherfucker. He was actually amazing, but I hated him. You know the story for the whole passing the herpes virus on to me, blah, blah, blah. No one's going to choose me, all the things. And he was a wild child. That's what I love so much about him. He was wild and just yes to everything. He would never say to me, and all my partners have always been kind of like my dad. You know how we attract the love that we're familiar with? My dad just wants to keep me safe. So for the sake of this podcast, we're going to call this guy Sam. Sam was not like that. Sam was never like, Rebecca, be careful. All my other partners, it's like, be careful. I need to protect you. Are you okay? Sam was like, just fucking whatever you want, just go for it. As I'm going to Europe, Sam's like, be careful with the European drugs. And I was like, whatever, Sam. He's like, no, Rebecca, I'm telling you this. Be really careful with the European drugs. Take half an ecstasy. Your body will not be able to handle it. I'm like, this motherfucker is the wildest man I've ever met in my life. He was so fun. I wish he'd been honest about the herpes virus because I have no idea how different our relationship could have been. I'd never met someone. He was so incredible, actually. And I probably haven't given him as much appreciation as he really deserved because my prior partner was like boring as fucking batshit. This is why I was so attracted to him. My past partner was so boring. And this guy, and I was so in love with him. And then this guy comes in and he's like a yes to everything, a yes to drugs, a yes to dancing, a yes to holidays, a yes to anything I wanted. He was like, yep, let's go. I want to have a threesome. Yep, let's go. Like, whatever you want, let's just fucking experience. Life is for experiencing, Rebecca. Anything I did, if I was dancing on stage at a nightclub, my past partner would be like, you're embarrassing when you dance. Sam was like, you were the fucking best. You were so hot. You're this. He was just all about pouring into people and just like motivating the fuck out of them. And from that energy, I was just like, yeah, I just felt so free to be me in the face of him. And that's what attracted me so much to him in the first place, except for the, you know, minor thing, the whole line to me about the herpes things. Kind of fucked that one up a little bit, didn't you, Sam? But that's what I loved about him. And as I was going to Europe with the girls, Sam said to me, the one that would never ever say, be fucking careful, Rebecca, do not take too many European party drugs. Take like a quarter of what you would in Australia. You will not be okay. First day of Tomorrowland, so excited. Take an ecstasy. I don't even know why I'm telling you this story, but I feel called to, so let's fucking go. I think we were worried about getting drugs into Tomorrowland, like fuck, everyone has them. I think we'd cut open panty liners and put our ecstasies in the panty liner and walked in. Anyway, I hadn't hit yet, so I'm like, take another one. Dancing, drinking, I don't need to drink a lot of drinks. Dancing, drinking, hasn't landed yet. Pretty sure I took another one. Dancing, drinking, and I'm like, no, they haven't landed yet. Like, I don't know what 25-year-old me was thinking. Are you kidding, Rebecca? Like, what the fuck? What was 25-year-old me thinking? I don't know what she was thinking, but she probably wasn't. She was not. Anyway, I take a fourth ecstasy and I turn to my girlfriend and I look at her and I say, I just took another one with like these big eyes. Obviously, I've taken three fucking ecstasies already. And I could tell her face when she looked at me and I told her I took another one that I'd taken too much. And in that moment, I thought to myself, put your fingers down your throat and throw this up. But I was too far gone. And it was in one moment, it felt like every ecstasy that I had taken hit my body all at once. Well, I'm small. I'm not that big a person. I know my voice is big. My jokes on a Saturday are big, but I'm not that big. I'm like 164 centimeters. I'm definitely not big and I can handle four European ecstasies big. So I went specifically to Tomorrowland for Steve Aoki and I'm lying on this fucking hill with all my friends dancing around me in a circle, like basically having an overdose. And so I don't know why I've told you this, but my point is there's going to be people that are like, that, her, who had an overdose on the Tomorrowland hill, like sweat pouring out of my body. She is a life coach now. I don't think anyone should be taking advice or guidance from that person. And I know that's a funny context because most of us have partied and all the things in our lifetime. But there is going to be someone that's like, who the fuck is that crazy bitch to be doing what she's doing? Like judgment is going to come from some direction. There's also going to be beyond the crazy shit that we've done when we're younger and people being like, what the fuck is she doing leading women? And like, she talks about herpes on the internet. Like, what the fuck is she doing? There's also going to be people that get really triggered by your light and your bigness. You are going to grow and expand who you are. And as you expand and elevate, you're going to begin to magnetize towards you people who are expanding and elevating at the same frequency. You're going to speak and they're going to hear what you say and be like, whoa, you are talking to me. And there's going to be people who are really a part of your life who are not expanding, growing, elevating. And as you grow and they don't, they're going to see you and some, not all, are going to have something to say about it. It's okay. We all can have opinions. We're born to fucking judge. One of my spiritual teachers said, Rebecca, we're human. We're born to judge. It's okay that we have judgments. We have projections. We have expectations of people. And we look at some people and think, well, the absolute fuck. We're just human. I don't know anyone who does not judge. Come to me and tell me that you don't. I don't believe you. Maybe you judge less or you're more grounded in your judgment or you catch your judgments, but we all still judge. And so if we don't do our own internal work to break free from this wound of rejection that I would say, my opinion, all of us to some degree carry, but also all of us carry the core human need and desire to belong. If we don't do our work around that, as we start to grow and elevate, if any of these people project, judge, shame, their words can be the thing that brings us straight back down to their level. And now the reason that I'm sharing this with you is a theme has occurred in my life and my clients' lives. Quite often when I'm navigating something, my clients will be going through it as well. And it's beautiful. Energetically, it's beautiful. It means that I get to have the learned, lived experience and really powerfully support them through what they're navigating. Something that showed up for a lot of my clients over the past month and then this week just like really occurred for me was women stepping into their power and people from their past saying, who the fuck do you think you are? Or what are you talking about? Or who do you think you are to do what you're doing? Or what qualification do you have to be doing that? There's been so many judgments that my clients have come to me and been like, oh, this friend of mine for fucking 20 years or my old boss or my ex-boyfriend or my partner who I've been with for 10 years or my mom or my stepdad. There's been some kind of opinion that has been shared that has shaken them, rattled them on their tree, not rocked them off their tree. They're still perched on that motherfucker, but the tree has been shook. And we're human. I'm not here to say, let's break free from the fear of judgment and rejection and just be like, anything you say to me doesn't fucking hurt. Like, fuck that. We're human. I'm a woman. I'm actually sensitive. People get really shocked when I tell people this. I am really sensitive. Even Jake sometimes is like, why are you so emotional and so sensitive? Like, why do you think I've got the bad bitch energy? I was rejected in school, bullied, attempted suicide. This is protective armor. The bad bitch identity is protective armor for the like
gentle, tender, sweet. I'm like, yes, people probably don't know this, but I'm really sweet. If you're close enough to me, you'll discover it and explore it. She's so sweet. She's so soft. In fact, I finished a 90 7-day breathwork training yesterday. And after 7 constant days of 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. training, 2 breathwork sessions a day, I was bawling the entire last day. I'm like, I don't even know why I'm crying, but I'm just crying and crying and crying and crying. And so I want to say that so that you know I'm sensitive and words, I don't allow them to penetrate me. They can hit me and bounce off, but I still hear them. And instead of being like, fuck that, Rebecca, don't listen to that idiot, there's a part of me that's like, no, is there something that you just heard then that hurt your feelings? Because if so, my 35-year young adult was like, motherfucker, I don't give a shit what you have to say. But if there is a teenager inside of me that heard those words and felt impacted in some capacity, I'm not going to pretend that that's not impacting her. So my 35-year-old can be like, fuck them, fuck this, I don't give a shit what you have to say. What the fuck are you even doing with your life to even have an opportunity to judge what I'm doing? Like, people who don't have businesses that think that they can give me business advice, there's part of my logical, masculine brain that's like, you don't have a business. You don't market on social media. Why are you trying to give me business advice? It doesn't make any sense. You don't have an opinion about things you don't even know about. But we're human. We're born to judge. So if something is said and my adult is like, I don't care, and my teenager is like, but I do, my work now is not to pretend that she isn't impacted and tend to her. So we're not here to build these walls of armor and just pretend that this doesn't hurt me. It's like, no, if I'm elevating, growing, expanding, and I have a fear of rejection and a core human need to belong, and someone that I love and care for has an opinion of me that's hurtful, I'm going to do the work to tend to me as that opinion comes in, but not let it shake me off my tree so that I do not stay committed to my path. And so I really want to bring this around to this sensation, this phenomenon in Australia and New Zealand, and I've actually screenshot a little definition for you, fam, called tall poppy syndrome. And I want to share with you the definition that was A, on Google, and B, on Wikipedia, so you know this is really substantial evidence-based research that I'm sharing with you right now. Lol. In Australia and New Zealand, tall poppy syndrome is a societal attitude and phenomenon occurring when people are resented, excluded, or criticized for their success and merit. Rather than celebrating the achievements of someone for their feat, they are cut down and often unconsciously relegated, overtly or covertly. Intense scrutiny and criticism of such a person is termed as cutting down the tall poppy. And so the reason that I'm putting that in there for you is knowing that this is actually something that's super common, mostly in Australia and New Zealand, as we grow and expand, elevate higher. The people that want to and desire to elevate with us are going to come for the journey. They're going to be the people that say, Beck, it's so fucking inspiring what you're doing. I think it's so cool. They're going to see inspiration in what I do, what I say, what I share. The people that are not committed to their path, or the people that even desire to, but their fears are greater than their desire, they're going to feel intensely triggered by your elevation. And so what does someone who is intensely triggered by your elevation do? They judge, they project, they shame, they try to make you wrong to try and make themselves right for staying where they are. This isn't their higher self. This is their personality. This is a part of their protection. If you listen to my podcast with Carrie, she spoke about judgment being a part of our protection. If judgment is a part of your protection, if you deeply, intensely fear judgment, the first thing that you're going to do if you're triggered by someone's light is judge them. Who does that bitch think she is? She fucking had an overdose at Tomorrowland. She was this, she was that. I'm pretty sure I used to get so drunk down at this bar in Scarborough that I would take my top off, dance on a fucking table, and then the security guard would walk me out with no top on, and I'd be standing there looking at him like, why are you kicking me out for? And I'd be there with no top on. He's like, you're so drunk and you don't have a top on. Why the fuck do you think I'm kicking you out? So there's so many people in my Perth community that might see me and be like, what the absolute fuck? And let's be honest, these people aren't seeing me and thinking anything because people don't really think that much. They're thinking about themselves. But there are some people that are either going to be triggered by your light or inspired by your light. And those people, the ones that are triggered or the ones that are inspired, they're the ones that are going to have the opinion. And now what your work is to be able to hold yourself no matter what. if the inspirational messages are like, this is the fuel to my fire and the only reason I keep going, well, if they stop coming in, do you stop committing to your path? Same as the opposite. If judgment comes in, I'm going to go back to what I know. I'm going to go back to my job. I'm going to go back to my past. I'm going to go back to appeasing my family. I'm going to go back to living a life, appeasing all of society so that I never have to stand out and I never don't fit in. If you are so dictated by the yes or the no, the approval or the rejection, the validation or the judgment, if they are the things that impact whether you keep walking, you're going to fucking stop. Your path is going to have an end. You get to anchor so deeply to your why you are choosing to walk a path that is unknown to others. You get to be so committed to that, that whatever occurs, when things don't go the way that our personality mind would love it to, that you say, hey, motherfucker, I know that this isn't what I wanted right now in my timeline, because in my personality, I was successful and killing it and married and all the things like 10 fucking years ago, but I'm here in Bali doing what I'm doing because God makes no mistakes. My path has already been written for me. I just have to walk it. I just get to cultivate the courage to walk it. And as much as my personality can be attached to timelines and timeframes and things happening the exact way that I desire it to at the exact time that I want it to, I get to release attachment to that, stay committed to my vision, committed to my desire, committed to my alignment, anchored to my why. So long as I do my work around my desire for acceptance, because we all crave it, my fear of rejection, because my wound is rejection, do the work to tend to myself when anything comes and hits my path so that I know that I can continue. Nothing will fucking shake me off my tree. That's your work. I say this because a lot of my clients, like I said, had received all of these opinions, all of these judgments from people within their social circle, and it was triggering for them. And then knowing that my clients have been navigating this for about a month, the past week, I experienced some of that. And the final thing I experienced was someone that I've known for quite a while who has applied to work with me frequently. I think she applied to work with me 3 years ago. She sat my most recent mini course. She had a call with our head coach for True Transformation to see if she was in alignment with joining us for the upcoming round of True Transformation. On the call, she shared with our head coach that she no longer wanted to do True Transformation. She was thinking about working with me one-on-one instead. So our head coach, knowing that she had applied to work with me one-on-one in the past and had a call about it, said, well, let's talk about that. And she really wanted to sit with her decision. And then the next day when she came back, she wrote a really big, long email about her decision to say no to working with me. And in it involved a lot of judgment and a lot of shame. Judgment about how I market myself online, how I promote my programs in my stories, how there are call to actions on my posts, how she preferred 3 years ago that not anyone could just apply to work with me. And now that I'm living in Bali, there was just an email. I was like, how fucking long did it take you to write an email drenched in judgment and shame about how I'm living my life? And I just thought to myself, this is the cherry on top for everything myself and my clients have been navigating this week. And it, for me, it really stood out how much tall poppy syndrome really truly does exist. For those that are triggered by our light, they're going to try and hold us where we once were and judge us for the things that we're committed to and doing. But I want to remind you all of this. There is nothing that anyone could say to me that will stop me from doing what I know I'm here to do. There is not one judgment about how I share on my stories, how I promote on my posts, who I ask to work with me. And I'll tell you why. Some women feel so fearful to request to join my work. They have a story about not being worthy. They have a story around taking someone else's position. Am I worthy enough to join Beck's program? What if it takes a spot of someone who really needs it? I'm not good enough to have that spot. So I know that women are scared to ask, and it's up to me to show up for them, to request that the people who resonate with my voice and my work, that you fucking find a way to make a way to join me and my team in my world. And so anyone who has an opinion of how I do that, you're the one that's vibrating down here, triggered by my light, judging what I do to keep yourself and your worldview safe. And hey, baby girl, that's okay. You want to stay there? I can't fight for your limitations. Sounds like you're doing a perfectly good job at that. I'm at peace with that. But I've done so much work to know that my path is already laid out, And I'm here to say yes to the sole assignment God gave me. Do you think I ever wanted to be the fucking herpes girl on the internet? No, my personality did not. But as soon as I said yes, let's fucking go, the path of least resistance opened up for me. 31 years of never being able to call in money and hold it. Bang, changed. And this isn't about money. It's about opening yourself up to receiving and you being abundant so that you can give your gifts in whatever way feels unique to you. I've opened myself up in such a way that the woman who does the back end of my business is like a sister to me. She is my team, love me, and my team love my clients. It's like God popped these women into my life at big and line times to say, Rebecca, you're doing the fucking work, and here is a team member. Here is someone that is so on board to support you on your path. When I sit down and do my gratitudes, I'm like, thank you, God, I could cry. Thank you, God, for gifting me Tracy and Mon. I don't know what I did so great in this lifetime or a past one for you to send me these women, but I'm truly grateful. I found this page of notes that said all the things that I achieved by 35, and one of them was building a female team. And I didn't know to what capacity. I didn't even know that I was going to be a coach then, but I just wrote on this list, building an aligned female team that are growing and expanding and creating income and impacting lives. I don't know what that's going to look like. I always wanted to be an entrepreneur. I probably thought it was going to be through my activewear. And look what's happening now. I must have written that list 5 or 6 years ago. And I have two of the most aligned women that I could have ever called into my world that fucking have my back and so deeply care about me and my clients. That's fucking abundance. Abundance, 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 abundance. And so that's what I want to remind you is possible. When you stay committed to your vision, committed to your why, committed and deeply anchored and rooted into why you're here, the path that you're here to walk, no matter what comes your way, you can see that person in their smallness, in their wounds, in their shadow, and say, I see them and I can see that their protection is judgment and that's why it's coming at me. But their judgment of me has nothing to do with me and everything to do with them. Tall poppy syndrome is so real. And I'm not here to buy into that. Not today, Satan. So my loves, I feel so complete in this experience right now. I fucking loved that podcast. I feel so fired up. Maybe had 1.5 coffees too many. But I feel so fired up after sharing that with you. So fam, I hope you had so much fun, A, listening to my stories and B, tuning into that conversation around tall poppy syndrome. And if you're thinking about what path you're walking, I would really love for you to tune into your why. Why are you going to commit to that brave, courageous path? There was this quote that I remember. I would rather live a life knowing that that wasn't it than live a life of regret wondering what if. As I was looking at the past, the boring as batshit boyfriend that I loved and the wild child that had opened the door to basically Pandora's box and said, let's fucking go back. I was in an internal war around it, kind of the internal war that Jake and I are going through right now. And there was a part of me that saw that quote and thought, I'm going to wonder what if for the rest of my life, if I don't open Pandora's box and allow this wild child to show me what living really fucking is. So let's fucking go. On the other side of let's fucking go came the herpes virus, but I'm pretty stoked that that was one of the outcomes of saying yes to life. My loves, I hope you love listening to this just as much as I fucking loved recording it. If you loved it, please screenshot it, send me a little DM and let me know what you got out of it. You're amazing. This was like my favorite solo podcast ever. I love being here with each and every single one of you. I hope you have the most beautiful, brilliant day. Let's fucking go. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. If you're desiring more from me right now, firstly, I love your eagerness. And secondly, let's make it happen. Check out the link in my show notes where you can receive more information on my books, breakthroughs, online webinars, all upcoming courses and programs, and how you can get started on your journey within my world today. I can't wait to be back in your ears next week. And trust me, you won't want to miss this episode.